Hello, everybody, and welcome back to a new episode of the Cinematic Trinity, where we talk movies, TV shows, and games, new and old. I'm Tulip.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Kieran.
This week, we're talking about the brand new Netflix series, Fool Me Once, starring Michelle Keegan and Joanna Lumley. So let's get into it. So this series is your classic crime drama,
mystery.
Based on a book by Harlan Coben. I never knew who he was before this. I don't really read. But apparently he's had quite a lot of different Netflix series before this one. And I'd just like to say that it was my fault that we started watching this series, because it was me who said, oh, do you know what? I've seen this really great thing. I've seen Michelle Keegan on this morning. You know, I think we should, I really like Joanna Lumley. I think we should watch this. And it was a bit disappointing, wasn't it?
It's very mid, in my opinion, very average. I mean, to Tulip's credit, we did want to watch more TV shows and review more TV shows.
We realised when we were doing our 2023 wrap-up, we were like, we have not watched any TV, basically. Like, we watched The Last of Us, and that was about it. Like, we didn't really watch anything. So this was a good start for us in 2024 to actually watch a TV series.
It's not five movie reviews and then... do a TV show, do a game. But yeah, I think it's one to cross off the list. I feel like there was a lot of buzz about it, like loads of people talking about, oh, it's the next bingeable Netflix series. You kind of like, when you hear that, you're like, oh, could it be like a Stranger Things? Could it be insert other sex education? Yeah. Is it one of these type of series? And for me, no,
it's definitely not. No. It was, I was really like disappointed, I think. And we will go into spoilers a little bit later, but not right now. We'll try and say as much as we can without giving you spoilers, because I do still think that there is a good story behind it. It was just the execution and the editing and the script
that
kind of really let it down, I think.
My thing for this show, and anyone who watches it will know, dramatic sting, especially if you watch it with subtitles, that would be the main thing.
Yeah.
Dramatic sting is just littered in this, because
do you mean by that, Michael?
I'm going to try and input a bit of audio to like examine my point here, but dramatic sting is just sort of like your general doon or ba-doon, like, you know, it's like whenever there's a clue or like something that you have missed. I do that in quotation marks as well, because I feel like the show kind of treats you more like an idiot than like most mystery shows do.
Hang on a minute. That's what I said. What I said when we started watching it last week. I said, this programme thinks that I've not seen any crime dramas before.
Yeah.
Whereas I've seen a lot of crime dramas, and I could solve a murder if I was a detective in real life because of the amount of crime dramas I've seen.
That's not how the police recruit people, Tulip.
Yeah, and what a shame that
I've watched
is.
A lot of
what
TV.
About all this
How many episodes of Endeavour
talent?
Have you watched?
Yeah, shut up. I've watched every single
all
episode.
Of the X-Files.
But it's true because every time, like, a piece of information, I think the funniest part of it was with the burner phone. So this isn't really, is it a spoiler?
I'll
just talk generally. So basically, somebody gets out an old Nokia, say. I think it's called TT phone in the actual thing. But say it's an old Nokia brick phone. Somebody gets it out, takes a phone call, and is talking angrily on the phone. And the first thing I see when I see this phone is, that's a burner phone. Why is the other person sitting at the other end of the table not saying, why have you got a burner phone there? What are you doing on that burner phone? And doesn't tell the police about it. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But if we'd had dinner and you got out a burner phone, the first thing I'd be like is like, what are you doing on that old phone? Why have you got a burner phone? And then if you went outside and started arguing with somebody on it, I'd be well suspicious. But the TV show doesn't know how suspicious I would be.
It does
all these like doom, and it's like, oh my God, but her other phone, her iPhone, was already on the table, so it must not be her phone, you know. So it was just
I'm gonna try and use like an actual, I'm gonna get a sting from online, because it'd be like, just trying to figure like a line of dialogue like you could use for that, because it'd be like, oh, do you remember the murder weapon was
doom.
I was going to put the sound into
it. Don't need the sound. I can do it.
Do a little flashback to the weapon.
It's all flashbacks.
Someone dying over and over again. Repeated like
20
times.
It'd be like, do you know that this guy liked eating pizza? And then it'd be, you know, flashback to that. But yeah, I think that was very overdone. I didn't like the opening sequence. Like, I really don't want to be like so negative. Tulip's dad hates
what
it
the opening when sequence
we're
was.
When we're really crapping on a show or crapping on anything because Tulip's dad's very positive.
It's not that he wants you to not be negative. He says you can't say anything bad without giving your reasons for it. So you've got
for
to
me,
give your reasons.
For me, it's one of those typical, like, I don't even know if it's like a mystery thing. It's just the typical TV intro where stuff is on screen that you'll soon learn the importance of.
Do you mean the opening titles?
Yeah. That's what, the credits, the opening credits or whatever.
Yeah, the opening credits where it's doing
it's
music
there's a
sunflower. And then what? There's like
that's just generic.
Like that.
That's just generic.
No,
sunflower dies. Flowers die.
No, sunflower is what was left on the grave.
Was it?
Which leads to a whole side plot in the film is about, oh my god, that's who left the sunflower on the grave, and that's why the sunflower's there, and that's why the masks are there, and that's why the boat is there, and it's just like, I feel like the first time I saw it was The Missing, which you've not seen.
No,
you've not seen. The first series is really good. The second series isn't as good as the other one. But the first series was really good, although the ending was rubbish. And that was exactly the same. Like, the opening credits, like, you know, have, like, hinted to, and you do piece it all together as you're going along. Yeah.
Shots and objects where it's like, you know, what's this? Could this be important? You know, stuff like that. And it was just, it ends with, like, a shot of the main house and, like, the windows crack, but it's just very poor-looking cracking windows. I don't know whether it's more like, I don't know if it's like the media person in me, or I'm kind of like, oh, that's not very good. Like, you know.
The media person.
Yeah. What did you think of it from
from inside. It only comes out when you watch TV shows on Netflix.
I feel like it's the most critical I've been of like a movie's editing for like ages, or like a TV show's editing. I don't know what you thought, Kieran, like in terms of how it, you know, structured itself, or like how it presented itself, like editing wise.
It was straight. To me, it felt like I could do it. Which, which, I mean, you know, not to crap on my own abilities, but I don't think is very impressive.
Yeah.
you know, a lot of things just felt unnecessary. I think that is when we come to wrap things up. I'm going to say it now anyway, because I've just said the word. But unnecessary is how I would describe the entire thing.
It was just your typical, like, I feel like it's the most Netflix kind of show I've watched in a good while, where it's kind of like, especially at the end 5 minutes, is always like, this character's doing something, it's all ramping up, and then cut to black, binge the next episode please, you know. It's kind of like very like, just felt like that a lot in this. It's kind of like, oh
yeah, but that, I don't think that is necessarily a bad thing though, because that, as you say, that's just what it's like in these kind of shows. Like, at least you have, it's all there. Like, have you ever watched Line of Duty? And, like, in the ending of those episodes, it's just, oh! Sometimes the whole thing is building up to that 5 minutes at the end where you learn something. You're like, no, give me more!
Yeah.
But I think that's good, like, because it keeps you coming back. It keeps you watching it. That's the whole point of it, isn't it?
I mean, if you want an example, because, like, I mean, I'm sure a lot of shows, like you said, they kind of do this. An example of one where, like, the entire film, it's like the entire film, and, like, it's why people like it. But Ocean's 11... The entire film is building up to all these twists at the end, and they do them all at the end, and it's really enjoyable because they've hinted at it throughout the entire thing, and you're like, does that mean that? Does that mean that? And then you kind of like, everything kind of all settles itself in the end, and you're like, oh, that was really cool.
Yeah.
This did not give that feeling.
I think what ruins it is the amount of flashbacks, because you don't have to use your brain at all. When they say, oh, whatever name, what? Tommy Dark, there's no, oh gosh, who was that? Oh, who was that? And let me use my brain to think about who that was and picture their face. It's, no, there's already a flashback on screen. So when it comes to the end and it is wrapping up and they're doing all the flashbacks, it's like, I've seen this flashback 50 times, thank you. Not, oh my God, do you remember that, right? In the first episode, I never even picked up on it, blah, blah, blah.
I think,
that's when it's good.
I think just to insert this here, because the general premise of the show is, or like the central hook, is
that
Michelle Keegan's character, Maya Burkett, or Maya Stern is her other name.
Her maiden name.
Yeah, her husband is killed at the beginning of the show. He's dead. They had the funeral and everything. But then on the nanny cam, she spots her husband again. So it's like, oh, is he alive? What's going on here? And then, you know, she sort of stumbles onto this conspiracy And there's like other characters thrown in here because it's kind of her investigation, the police's investigation, obviously, of her husband's murder. So,
and also her sister's been murdered.
Yeah, under suspicious circumstances. Prior. It's all these different investigations and they all coincide together.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. So I think going back to what you said there, because I thought the same, like there's so many names thrown out here and it just sort of loses all meaning of like, oh, you need to go speak to this person and then this person and then this person comes back into it, and it's kind of like there's too many things to keep up with here, like, you know, simplify, because I mean, I appreciate it's like a conspiracy, so obviously there's going to be inner workings and it's going to be very detailed, but when it's like you expect me to remember all these people's names in like a short amount of time, it's just like it didn't feel overly satisfying, or even like, yo, Tommy Dark, like, even
I hope you wouldn't be like that ever.
I didn't find it like that necessarily. I found it more that there were quite a few plot points that didn't
go anywhere.
So it was like, oh, so that entire like 15 minutes of this person's story was entirely useless and gave no value to the plot whatsoever.
Or it's not even like this is just like a nice side plot that doesn't necessarily link to that. Like, it is literally a side plot, but it's still enjoyable because it's not enjoyable.
There was just, I just, like, it didn't feel like some of them in there had any value whatsoever to me.
I think for, like, as well, obviously, we're going to talk spoilers, but, like, getting into, like, the ending twist kind of thing, obviously, what you go into the final episode with didn't feel as satisfying as the show probably wanted you to, like, or like as kind of thing.
Yeah.
There was one moment that made you physically go, oh my god, but that was nothing to do with like any revelations in the plot. It was just a thing that, it was just a set piece that happened, kind of thing. But yeah, the final like thing, it goes for like, oh, this is like the final thing, you're kind of like, great.
And the thing is, like, the actual story of it, as I said at the beginning, the actual story of it is to where the twists and turns lead and how it all connects together, I do think that that actually is genuinely good. It's just the way it was presented on screen that made it disappointing.
I imagine reading the book of it, like, you know, however many, like, hundreds of pages the book might be, imagine in that context where you're, like, reading through and it's like, Tommy Dark is on page 48, and then you get to like page 150 and it's like, oh my god, Tommy, he's back in in the book again. Like, that's more engaging for you. But I feel like it did, just as like a mystery thing, I feel like kind of too much stuff was going on. As like Kieran was saying, some elements didn't go anywhere, so it's kind of like, why was there so much going on if this bit here isn't gonna actually progress anything too far? So I think in terms of like generic notes, this is not a spoiler, but we all thought it, basically, with like Michelle Keegan or like Myers' investigation, she goes to a lot of places, interviews a lot of people, faces no resistance.
No, she doesn't.
Whatsoever. We'll touch on, I think, we're like, some bits will come up in our spoilers, but like,
anytime she wants to get a bit of information out of somebody, she gets the information straight away.
There's no like,
apart from a bit of, why do you want this? Oh, I'm not telling you. And then she just goes, shut up and tell me, you know, and then,
shut up and tell me, you know, I'm an army woman. Oh. That's what, you know.
I think that's quite the accent.
It was like Michelle Keegan was in the room.
special guest Michelle Keegan. Yeah, so it's kind of like, apart from like one bit in the first episode where she gets pepper sprayed, I feel like that's the only resistance or like physical, I suppose, say physical harm that comes to her, kind of thing, you know.
I know that we're all being quite negative.
Let's talk about some positives.
I can't do that until we get into spoilers.
I
like Michael was saying about, like, you know, it be like in the book form, you would probably enjoy the story a lot more because of like the mysteries would come through. Like, you see Tommy Dark's name, you'd see him come up again. Yeah. Tommy Dark isn't that big a character. I think
it's
we're just using
that
because
I don't want to.
But like, the thing is with that, I think it's because this show suffered a lot from the direction and like how they wanted it to come across because of all the things, like, it's entirely in your face. There is nothing left for you to try and figure out.
Yeah.
The bit
that
was good was the bit that we, like, they didn't tell us outright and it was an actual twist.
Yes.
It seemed interesting.
And it's, like, kind of set up as well. Like,
and it was set up.
We'll
get to it as well.
I don't remember
but,
which twist
like,
you're about.
The one good twist in it was actually really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a shame they didn't try and harness that for the rest of what they were trying to do.
plot.
Yeah.
And also, Joanna Lumley was not in this programme enough.
No, God, no.
I was so gutted that she wasn't in there more, because she was really good on screen, and I think her and Michelle Keegan actually had really great chemistry together as, like, you know, two powerful people, really.
Well, she's kind
of coming
like,
together and butting heads. Yeah. I think that was quite satisfying to watch, but there just wasn't enough of it.
She's like the matriarch of, like, the Burkitt family, obviously, who Maya married into, and it's kind of like, you know, your mother-in-law kind of situation. So yeah, there's just a good, she's very pompous. Joanna Lumley's like essence, you know, like she's just good. I feel like that's a good positive, is the performances were, you know, good. There wasn't like,
All right,
I think like it's for the kind of show that it is, you're not talking like your big Oscar-worthy, BAFTA-worthy performances. It's just very like, I liked the guy who played Kearse, the detective.
Yeah, he was good.
He had some good stuff in here. You know, Michelle Keegan, she was all right. She was good. As well.
And props to her wardrobe, because she was wearing some lovely things.
Oh, yeah.
She had a gorgeous coat on that was like check coat. And then I saw on Instagram somebody posting about what her outfits were, where they were from, and other stories. Marge. Dolce & Gabbana coat, so it's like, of course that's how nice it is.
Yep.
But she wore some lovely things, so I know you guys don't care about that.
That's where the budget went.
All I did see, and you showed me, it was the house where the Burkitt family are situated is Tommy Shelby's house from Peaky Blinders.
Yeah, and I also saw a clip of Mr. Tumble filming scenes outside the house as well. Yeah. You know, from
Something special.
Yeah, we all know who Mr. Tumble is.
Justin Fletcher.
Yeah, that's it. Justin Tumble.
Can you sign murder? You know, just get him in there.
Can you?
No, I don't
know. Can you do any sign language? Can you do any sign language, Kieran?
I think that's A.
Well, it's A-E-I-O-U, and then that's S.
I think that's hello.
Yeah, thank you. And then please. I think it's please and thank you. I think. And that's Jesus. There you go.
This is our sign language break.
That's your lesson for today. We want to see what you do next week.
Send us Send us your best sign language. I think, you know what? I think before we... We'll kind of wrap up here, the general thoughts, because I feel like there is a bit to get into with the story.
I think, as Kieran said, there may be some more positives once we go into the spoiler section.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So shall we go to the spoiler section? Well, I think overall, cue the music.
You know why I always like to do it? What would you score it?
6.
4.
Kieran. 4! That's a little bit low.
I'm thinking 4 or 5, yeah.
Oh, am I being a bit generous then?
No, I think I'm just being a little bit... I don't know.
I don't see this programme as being your thing. I might be wrong.
I don't mind crime dramas. I just don't think this was the one for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. That's... We need to watch more then. Have you ever watched Line of Duty?
No.
Or like The Missing or anything? No. There's lots that we can watch. Mm-hmm. I think we should watch
Stay them. Tuned for the Cinematic Trinity retrospective on The Line of Duty. Although that ended poorly as well, didn't it?
Yeah, it got worse. But like the first 4 seasons were just... Fantastic.
For like
Fargo.
Fantastic.
Yeah, Fargo.
Watch
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's brilliant as well.
So, yeah.
Boot.
Yeah. on that note, I'll go 5, I think, to try. Because it was just very
four,
average.
4, 5, 6. Sorry.
Yeah, so because like, just average, but cue the spoiler jingle.
Spoilers ahead.
Kieran, what was your...
What positives do you have to say now?
We mentioned it before, Kearse and his story. The twist of the medicine and like him seeing his deceased wife and, you know, and that whole thing, because you kind of see her throughout the thing. And there is one, like a good hint with his phone where he's sending her messages and obviously getting no responses because obviously she's deceased. So... You know, he meets her in like a couple places and like you find out at the end that this medicine has like really negative side effects because they've been fudging the results of...
The Burkitts have been fudging the results, the main family.
Yeah. Hmm. So that one twist, like, I mean, we all kind of thought it was like, oh, that was really good.
Yeah.
I didn't think it, like, I didn't see it coming as such.
I didn't see it at all.
It's also the kind of twist where flashbacks work well because it gives you like a different perspective on things that happened because it's kind of like, you know, he's basically interviewing like a conspiracy theorist guy who stumbled onto that conspiracy about the drugs, and it's him saying, oh, they might have sound effects, like, you know, hallucinations and stuff like that, and it's recontextualizing what you've already seen. Cause
and you can see him, like, it's all focused on him. And I think that is quite well done, where it's all focusing on him. You can hear the conspiracy theorist telling him about these drugs and how harmful they are. And then he's literally, like, thinking, you're like, oh, hang on a minute.
Well, yes, cause
and then he finds them, gets them out of his pocket, and he says... Birkett's on them.
Yeah, because
like
he's kind of like, that's why I crashed my car in the first episode. That's why I keep like, you know, because every time
he keeps having blackouts. And passing out and, you know, getting chest pains and stuff like that and hallucinating. And I had no idea that, but you don't really know that it's his wife. You think that his like donor because
he was
an alcoholic and you just think that that's his sponsor, not donor. You think that that's his sponsor.
Which
is very believable.
You know, the hallucination says it. Like, I'm your sponsor. I'm meant to be looking after you, but no, it's actually his previous dead wife.
Yeah, who was murdered, and she was a police officer as well.
Yes.
So all that, that was a really good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that because it was funny because you were saying like, why is this so relevant? Like, why do we keep seeing this man passing out? Like, this is really boring. But then when it all like came to fruition, it was like. Payoff. This is why we've been watching it. And that's when programs like this are really good, where you're watching something, you're like, where is this going? And then all of a sudden it's revealed and it's like, oh my God, I never would have guessed that.
Yeah.
And that's when it's really good.
If they kept a lot of the reveals consistent with that kind of theme and they did it in that kind of way, then this would have easily been like way higher in kind of my kind of rankings. Because I think there is a good story behind this, it was just not executed very well.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, because like, the big twist is...
Maya killed her husband.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Which, to be fair, I didn't see it coming. I thought it probably would be that, but I couldn't quite figure out like why and sort of all piece it together in my mind. But I was still disappointed that that was what it was because... We just learned that she killed him, but we didn't really learn why yet. So I feel like we didn't have enough facts for it to be satisfying.
Because I thought at one point as well with it, because I think it was when we went on to that like penultimate episode when the reveal happens, I was kind of like, oh, it's kind of like stopped being about Joe's murder now. It's all been focusing on her sister. Like it's
yeah,
kinda like
I he, thought that.
It's kind of that was why, because she wasn't investigating her husband's murder because he...
Because
she killed
knew,
him, you know.
Yeah, but she was still investigating Claire's murder.
Her
she
sisters,
still
yeah.
didn't know quite. And I think that's the thing. Yeah, she still didn't quite know why he killed Claire.
Yeah.
Because Joe killed Claire. Joe, Maya's husband, Joe, killed Maya's sister, Claire. And that's how the sort of. And then there's somebody else who dies, but I don't really know what's going on with that. But she doesn't know. She knows that Joe killed Claire, but doesn't know why. And that's what she wants
that's
to find
the conspiracy
out. That's
as to
the
why.
Conspiracy. But we just don't know. Do you think it would have been better if we'd have just known from the start that Maya killed her husband and was kind of like back? She was like, right, I've killed him because I know that he did wrong, but I don't know why. And I still want to know why. And then it's like backtracking from there. Almost like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, where it's like everything's like in reverse, isn't it? All leading up to Claire's murder. And we know everything that...
I don't know if you'd have to do it from like a different perspective then.
Yeah.
Where like you maybe do it solely from like Kiers's and maybe her brother-in-law's perspectives, like selectively. And then so you see her kill her husband at the start and then you kind of see these characters piecing together while you already know.
Yeah, because
maybe that would work. But I don't think it would work if you saw her kill and then follow her throughout the entire thing.
It's a, you know, I guess it's sort of like a... I was almost going to say like a Killers of the Flower Moon situation where it's like, you know, they did the murders and this is sort of how they tried to like evade questioning. Because like, it is said that Joanna Lumley's character thinks Maya killed her son. So it's kind of like she... Because the whole thing on the nanny cam, like her seeing her husband on the nanny cam is she just paid a couple of her employees to deep fake Joe being on the camera to then set Maya up for her to make a mistake and then obviously reveal that she killed Joe. So you could have like almost done that, like Joanna Lumley suspects something, oh, I'm going to try and pin her down. And it's like, you know, one's trying to get away, the other one's trying to like discover the truth. And then it kind of like flips your perspective a bit because it could be then you follow Maya and it's like, oh, actually, you know what? All the Birketts were bad. It wasn't just like
Joe killing her sister. Yeah, I thought the program was going to be Maya and Judith, Michelle Keegan and Joanna Lumley, teaming up to solve Joe's murder.
Yeah.
One of them did it. But it's kind of like they're both implicated. If that was the case, it would have been that they're both implicated because Michelle Keegan was the one who actually committed the murder, and all she wants to know is what. She knows who, but she doesn't know why.
Yeah.
And Judith Burkett doesn't know who, but she knows why. So that's kind of like how it... That would have been interesting. There you go, I've already written it.
So there's a few, you know, a few points she finds out about Joe. Basically, Joe, you know, has a history of killing people because he killed his brother after they... killed a guy at their school when they were kids, basically. Also, the guy, Christopher Swain, who tells that story, is the guy who plays Margit from Elden Ring.
Oh, for God's sake. Anything that we watch, there is a chance to lead it back to a game.
Yes, because video game actors can also act in normal things.
What?
Yes, I know.
That's crazy.
I recognised his voice and I was like, I've heard that somewhere. And then, yeah, it was like, it's that guy. And he was in, like,
Google.
Vampire IMDb, actually. But, using Vampire and Elden Ring.
Did you search on IMDb or did you not type it into Google?
I know, I typed in Fool Me Once on IMDb. It took me through to that guy's actor and then I looked on his film, his, you know, because...
That's so funny because I would not think, I don't know who this actor is. I'm going to go on IMDb.
Yeah, but
I
like,
think I'm going to go yeah, on but Google.
The, yeah, but considered being a detective by
but all I'll say is video game actors don't typically, unless you're like Nolan North or Troy Baker, have a Wikipedia page. So it's not that you're going to find them from there. It's more like IMDb is a good voice actor, like finder tool. But yeah, that's my video game knowledge to impart on you. Is there? At least there's a Margit from Elden Ring is in this show.
Great.
Okay, we filled our quota, so he's got to do a video game for a while.
He has a boss fight against Michelle Keegan. He's like foolish, you know, tarnished, finding the secrets of Joe Burkett.
God's sake. All right.
What else have we
got?
What else we got? I will say, yeah, we discussed this at the end as well, but Kearse has a partner called Marty, and Marty is the happy-go-lucky, like, intern, detective. You know, Kearse
what if
is like...
he's an intern?
Well, he's like... Yeah, but he's like kind of new to it, isn't he? Because it's like, you know, Kearse is like this old...
Yeah, he's young doesn't mean he's an intern.
It's the typical thing of he's a young, like, detective, and obviously Kearse
young
is like...
Young and naive.
Yes, and Kearse is like, you know, he's very by the book, this young guy, and then Kearse is like... Well, Kearse is basically, I'm too ill to be working, and I'm not going to tell anyone else, I'll get fired. Whereas Marty's like, I'm going to report you. He's like, no, don't do that.
I don't mind him, though. Like... You hated him, didn't
Kieran,
you?
Kieran said a funny thing about, like, what... Cause
what
I said,
did you say, Kieran?
What I said on Monday.
Yeah, because I was like, TikTok's...
I want to hear it from Kieran's mouth.
I think I said Golden Retriever energy.
Yeah, I was like, yeah,
would say
did,
he's got
yeah,
Golden
yeah,
Retriever.
Because
yeah, yeah,
I said...
Because
I was saying, like, oh, TikTok's going to have, like, a field day with this. Because I feel like whenever, like, a Netflix show comes out, they're like, oh, 5 minutes of Kearse and Marty having a cute partnership or whatever.
Nah, it's
It'd be
all
that.
About Michelle Keegan on TikTok. All
Is
about
it?
People love her. And I think she was really the nation's sweetheart before this because she was in something called Our Girl, where again, she played somebody
a military
in the military. And everybody loved that. I never watched it, but everybody loved it and everybody thought she was amazing.
Yeah.
And I like her because she's married to Mark Wright and all that, but I didn't really care that much. But
she's
people really
Coronation
love
Coronation Street?
Yeah, she did star on Coronation Street. So there you go.
What did, because this is like another point we talked about. Again, we're not going every episode by every episode, but like another overarching thing or like thing they reference back to is Maya's PTSD or like incident when she was in the army. Because that's like another mystery kind of thing that you have to like, you don't unravel it yourself really. You kind of just sit there until Maya like confesses what happened because it's sort of she kills a, you know, kills civilians and there's like a video that gets leaked of her doing it. The audio doesn't get leaked because the audio is more incriminating because it's basically she disobeys direct orders to not fire on civilians.
Yeah.
What did you think of that? Because it's sort of like you get the...
Don't know.
To add to the dramatic sting, it always just keeps cutting to her having PTSD and it's just, ah, medic, medic, ah! And just like, you know, do you know what I mean?
I mean, you have to wonder, like, within a warring scenario, like, maybe she would have lost her job because she disobeyed direct orders, fair enough. But you could also have an argument that she had her squad down there. She was the captain of the squad. She was the one that was looking after them.
Yeah.
They were all injured. There was this unidentified truck coming towards them, potentially to cause more damage.
Yeah.
You know,
and she was watching it.
It's not black and white. It's not like she's evil. She like she maliciously like... wanted to harm civilians.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
It was to protect her team down there that were trying to save their own men from, I think it was a gone off IED.
Like explosion happens in their car. They're obviously there, like injured. The medics are like seen to them. And
the thing is,
like,
they're all, she can hear them on the ground and she can also hear control in her headphones. And all the men on the ground are shouting, get rid of that car, he needs fire on that car, get rid of it now, what are you doing, why aren't you firing it, you need to get rid of it now. So that's all she's hearing in her head, and then controller saying to her, no, we can't confirm the vehicle, like, you don't fire, you don't have, you're not clear to engage, whatever. So actually that must be like,
she should have done the
imagine odds. Being in that situation where you've got people that you care on the ground, you have ability to fire this car, somebody's telling you not to, but all you want to do is just fire. That's
I'd wonder how accurate that would be to, like, if they were like actually in a war zone, how the consequences of that.
Yeah.
Like, I would imagine there'd be a certain amount of, you know, while you're in the field, you know, it's very different being in command in like in a base somewhere entirely away from the danger. Like, sometimes they might have to make those decisions.
Absolutely.
Obviously, civilian life's gone, so maybe fair enough, she would lose her job
and
there would be consequences there, but I don't know if it would be as severe as, like, they maybe kind of made it out to be.
Yeah, because I think there were, it was a national news thing as well, like the footage was leaked online, and that's how she meets this conspiracy theorist through all this, you know, conspiracy theorying he did on whatever she did with killing those civilians, and that's kind of how that overlaps. But yeah, it's like, you know, is that, you know, how it would really play out. But
to be honest, I think if the audio was released, it probably would have done less to incriminate her.
Yeah.
Because you would have been able to hear all the soldiers crying out on the ground.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, it's not black and, like, as black and white as they make it seem to be. It's very much grey.
Yeah.
I think, again, probably another, like, element which, like, if slightly better direction, could have been, like, explored more, kind of thing, you know? Like, better, almost. Because I, like, at one side plot kind of links into the story, doesn't massively, is like a as part of, like, her sister's investigation into the Burkitt family, which then got her killed, she meets her Claire meets her adopted son, and it's basically, there's a sort of side plot with her two children finding their adoptive brother.
No, it's Claire's son that she gave up for adoption.
Oh, yeah, sorry, yes,
and
that's what
it's the kid's half-brother, not that she adopted his son.
Yeah.
Just to be clear.
That's one of the plot lines which went nowhere.
It didn't go anywhere, yeah.
It was only
after they discovered that was their brother, like, the kid's dad invited this brother that was given up for adoption into the house. They had, like, 30 seconds of, oh, it's nice to meet you, we've seen you before and stuff. And he was never seen again.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Also, his dad came into it for a little bit, never seen again.
Yeah, I just thought then, because in terms of, like, storylines which didn't, like, even get a resolution, it's Marty Kearse's partner in, like, the final episode, is like, trying to chase to this location. He's just driving. Never seen again. Like, the finale of the episode happens. Never. He's not even there. There's no, like, saying, what happened to Marty?
There's no interview or anything. Nothing.
He's just gone. It's just like, he was going to meet Kearse somewhere. He's just the last shot of him is just driving. And then the other one is with the half-brother. His dad's, like, a tech millionaire, who was, like, one of Claire's former, like, you know, Maya's sister's former boyfriends. You know, Claire's husband is like, oh, I'll take you to see your dad. We'll set you up or whatever. You don't see that meeting happen. Yeah. You don't see them meet. It's like, you know, I'm sure he'd be overjoyed that his dad's, like, a tech millionaire. And I'd be and the dad's probably, like, overjoyed to have, like, a son. You know, that never gets resolved. You don't see the consequences of that.
Yeah, you don't.
So that's just a bit like, it's only there to set up one brief thing so Maya can go to a school and interview
just
somewhere.
It's literally just to set up that school.
Yeah.
Which
she could have found
through one of Joe's old photos that might be in her house, because I'm sure Joe would have photos of him when he was younger in the house. Yes.
Absolutely.
So
he went to Joanna Lumley's house.
Yeah. Where does Joe go to school? Oh, it was such and such place.
Yeah, because it was like, she walked into a school with no problem, and then the penultimate episode is the worst case of her just finding out crap and, like, not getting any. She walked into, like, a hotel And it was just one doorman goes, "Oi, stop, come back here." And then
walks after.
Just doesn't like call security to be like, "Yeah, someone just come into our building, like chase him down." Mm. No, just like, "Oh, she must be gone." And then the penultimate episode is she goes to a car park to find like a nanny, basically the people who did the deep fake footage.
God, yeah.
She walks into a car park, she hides behind a pillar for like God knows how long. And then she just holds these people up by gunpoint. And then like, you know, where was the CCTV footage in that car park is all I'll say. Because
to be fair, there might be CCTV footage. It might not be monitored all the time. It depends what kind of building structure
I feel like
security might not always be monitoring it. A lot of CCTV isn't monitored.
I feel like I was expecting either for it to be like, you know, just there's an explanation like, "Oh, this is an old car park, there's no security here." Or it'd be like in like the final episode or something, like if their police are like hunting Maya down, it could be like, "Oh, look, this was caught on security camera. She like kidnapped these two people," because that's what she does. She just holds two people at gunpoint and then forces them into the trunk of their car. But no, nothing happens because, you know.
Yeah.
And I feel like we'll wrap up just talking about the finale, like Maya's
last. I
liked
the finale of sort of the last hurrah as such, because she goes over to the Burkitts and they're all there. Joanna Lumley, two of the people who
and
were
her two
part
kids,
of
like the two,
yeah, yeah, her two kids,
Joanna, maybe
Caroline,
and
Neil.
Don't know what the other name is. Yeah,
Neil. Joanna Lumley. That's what.
Yeah. and anyway, you know, Michelle Keegan's there, and she's saying, "This is what you did." You know, the
just
drugs,
puts
whatever,
puts the conspiracy
puts everything
out,
together,
yeah.
Lays it all out. We find out everything that happens, and then she gets shot and killed by one of the sons after Joanna Lumley tries to say, "Look, don't worry, you killed him. We'll blame everything on him. Nobody needs to know. Like, we'll brush this all under the carpet." But then the son comes over and kills her. And it turns out she's recording it all on the nanny cam, which is being live streamed by the conspiracy theorist. So everybody knows about it. And apparently it was being watched by millions of people in the world. But I'm sorry.
Yes, if I saw
it
a random...
It just doesn't happen like that, does it?
If I saw a random live stream going
of a house and people talking, I'd be like, "Rob, what is this? I'm not watching that.
Is that Joanna Lumley? What's she doing there?"
I mean, I guess it'd be like the equivalent, like, I don't know, if you saw like a live stream come up on like Twitter and it was like, "Oh, Jeff Bezos like exposed," then you might be like, "Oh, I'll click on that." A million people aren't going to click on that,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
How many people look at stuff when anonymous sends stuff out? Because that's like, that's the equivalent.
Yeah.
So I mean, you have to kind of think about it that way, because like anonymous are pretty big. Like whenever they announce them, a lot of people see it.
Yeah.
And I mean, pharmaceutical company, I don't
know.
Yeah,
nobody's going to know Judith Birkin, you know, is exposed. Like, who's they're going to be?
Yeah,
like,
you'd see it the day after and be like, "Oh, live stream of these rich people killing a random woman."
Yeah,
you know,
and then everybody.
That's what it's going to be. So that's like, you know, they get exposed, they get put in prison. We almost thought for a second that Maya didn't die because it does like an 18 years later thing. So it's like Kearse obviously recovered now, like must have stopped taking the pills and like, you know, got better, goes to hospital, meets up with Eddie, and basically just Maya's daughter Lily has grown up and had a kid of her own, which we thought was scary because she must be like 21 and like having a kid.
Yeah
So it's just like, you know, that happens. We found it funny how like Kearse and like Eddie, like, you know, didn't interact very much in the season, but like they're like, how are you doing?
"Hey, how are you doing? I've seen you for what, 18 years?
So it's just like, because I was always thinking they're going to go to
sorry,
like...
Sorry, can I just say, you looked at your fake watch again. This is like the recurring
joke. It's a running
joke,
gag. Just...
Recurring Kieran joke.
Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get a watch one day.
Yeah. I'm going to get you one for your birthday. Don't buy one so that I can do the joke and get you one for your birthday. God, that is just too funny.
I'll check the other end.
So funny. Oh, carry God. On, Michael, sorry.
But yeah, for a minute I thought that was going to be like Maya survived and it was like her in my hospital in like a coma or like recovering. But no, it's just her daughter has a baby and then...
It's just to show that they all kept in touch and that Lily named her daughter Maya.
Yes,
that
after her mum.
Was, you know, what we needed to know. And that's it.
Yeah, that's just sort of how it wrapped up. I think, again, like, when I first looked through the episode list and I saw the finale was like 35 minutes, I was like, right, something's off here. Because, like, all of these episodes, like, 45 minutes to an hour. So, like, clearly this is going to be rushed or something.
You could have easily taken out three episodes. And it's still... Or it could have been a film 2-hour-long film, I think would have been
two-parter Netflix movie.
No, a 2-hour-long film, or 2.5-hour-long film. Fine. Done. Yeah. Perfect.
I reckon, like, you could edit it, reduce it down by a lot, take out a lot of the weird noises, you know, like, rejig it a little bit, and it would be a lot better.
Yeah,
because, as you say,
absolutely.
Like, performances and things are good.
Yeah.
It's there. It's just not...
You know what I think?
Right.
Yeah.
I think if it was a BBC crime drama, would have been alright.
Yeah, I think
what,
maybe
so edited
it would
the
have
same,
been.
But just with the BBC logo on it.
Yeah, yeah. Because I'd think, oh,
no, BBC
this is,
editing.
I think this is premium. This is the
oh,
British.
Goodness me, the British Broadcasting Company. Oh, good
my brain,
show.
My brain would be conditioned to think,
yeah,
like, oh,
to think it's good. Yeah.
Oh dear.
But yeah, a bit of like, I guess. I don't know, wasted potential is like the right word to use. But you know what? I just like, could have been better. Could have been better.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Could have been better.
Not the next binge watchable series, I think.
Would you recommend
the next
somebody
Netflix
watch
series?
It?
That's what it is.
It is a Netflix. It is a Netflix show.
It is the Netflix show of 2024.
Mm-hmm. Is it the only Netflix show that we're going to watch?
No.
We can watch is it The Last Airbender's getting a Netflix treatment? Yeah.
So
I think that's
we
getting
need more
it.
Crime
it
dramas.
Need
more
I think,
crime
I think,
dramas.
I don't know whether Stranger Things might be out this year.
Nah, it's going to be 2024.
Can't be, but no.
All
I
the
think...
kids will be too old, Kieran.
No, I've heard that,
like
it's, I heard that it's just gone into production. I saw it on the news
right.
today that it's just gone into production. So we won't
okay.
get it this year, will we?
Who
but
knows?
Do you know what? I feel like I don't even care.
That's the thing
I
for another video.
I don't care. Anyway,
that's
yes.
for our Stranger Things Season 5 review in...
Yeah. Let's wrap this 2025. One up now. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that was For Me Once. That was it. That was it.
Yeah.
So
it did fool me once with that one twist that got
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
So there we go. It did what it said on the tin.
Yeah.
That's my review.
Yeah. So yeah, I think there's not really a topic set for next week's episode yet, but
yeah.
obviously we'll see you guys in the next one. Thank you very much for watching or listening to this episode of the Cinematic Trinity. And in the meantime, I've been Michael.
I've been Tulip.
I've been Kieran.